Today's podcast is brought to you by Every Wednesday, a plan to inspire the people of Portland and support the place we call home. Let's get out of the house and spend some time with each other. Skip Zoom, meet for coffee, take your colleagues out to happy hour. Buying a gift? Ditch the internet and support a local maker by shopping in-store. Head into town every Wednesday and see what's going on at everywednesdaypdx.com.
Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
For Willamette Week's annual Pride issue, Andrew Janowski penned a really impactful introduction to a really intense package that examines pride through a really wide lens. One passage in particular really got me together. And I quote, "More people love us than don't, even if they don't always use the best words and actions to express it. The peace, love, and sense of belonging we create for ourselves and one another travels beyond our social bubbles. All kinds of people can feel it." So this is a shitty timeline. No argument. But there are so many rays of hope. And in this package, we get to look at some of them and revel in them. Like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They exist. They're amazing. They are superheroes. Portland is an LGBTQ haven for trans kids that don't feel safe in intolerant communities. It's also attracting new families from intolerant states. There's just a lot of hope and a lot of love and a lot of joy and light up in here. And, you know, happy Pride. It's Saturday, July 8th, and this is episode 131 of The Dive. This week I'm talking with one of the subjects of Anthony Effinger's contribution to this week's package. They arrived. My guest is Tiffany Rodriguez, who moved to Portland with her wife and young daughter from Texas when their once considered progressive town began to feel too unsafe to be tenable. Tiffany will remind us how lucky we are to live in Portland in just one sec. But first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Nigel Jaquis reports House Bill 3414, part of Governor Tina Kotek's effort to crank up housing production to 36,000 units a year, failed by a single vote. Two of the Democrats Kotek counted on, Senators Chris Gorsuch and Deb Patterson, voted no after an onslaught of opposition to the amended bill. Sophie Peel is chasing ghosts at the Old Northwest Neighborhood Cultural Center, which was bought by a Las Vegas development company, but, oh no, the developers faced mounting costs. Lenders got cold feet. So the sales agreement was recently extended for a third time in a year. And David Frazier took the horniest photo set of Bossa Nova Ballroom's Barracuda Takeover. Whew. Call me Goldilocks, because I know this is not for me, but I'm still into it. All right, now let's chat with our new friend, Tiffany Rodriguez, about her migration from hostile Texas to utopic Portlandia.
So I was born and raised in Houston, Texas, and then I went to Texas A&M for my graduate studies. And when I finished my doctorate, I moved out to San Diego, California, and that's where I met my wife 13 years ago. And then when we were ready to have a child, we thought, okay, the housing's cheaper and family is there. Let's move back to Texas. So we moved to just outside of Austin to a place called Wimberley. And then we decided to move closer to my brother in Fort Worth, Texas. And that's really where we put down roots. And we actually bought a house there the week before our daughter was born. So we were there for 6 years in Fort Worth, and it was It was great in terms of being close to family.
Yeah. So what year would that have been when you moved back to Fort Worth?
So that would have been like 2017.
Did you have like a, do you have like a frame of reference then, like what the local community looked like before Trump was elected and after Trump was elected?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually left Wimberley because it was starting, we started to see Confederate flags come up. Yeah. So we thought, okay, Wimberley might not be the place for us, mm-hmm. but we would hang out with my brother in Fort Worth. And we thought, this is like a mini Austin. It felt slightly progressive, relatively mm-hmm. speaking, for Texas. And we loved that it had some, like a river that runs through it. So some nature. And everyone was telling us, you know, this is like the next Austin. And we thought, okay, well, we agree with Austin's politics. This could work. and we had family there, which was most important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we decided to move to Fort Worth. At that point, it did not feel like in your face Trump wasn't very like, it just wasn't in your face.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we left, it was very much in your face.
Ugh.
It was Trump flags, MAGA hats, terrible bumper stickers. And that all sounds really small, right? It's just a bumper sticker. But it's what you see every single day when you step out of your house. You get in the car, you go to Target, you see 10 bumper stickers mm-hmm. that make you feel as though I'm not in a place that feels ultra safe to me.
Yeah.
I feel safe around my family. I feel supported by my family.
Mm-hmm.
But outside those walls, if I step outside my house, it feels totally different. And I saw that shift happen over those 6 years from 2017 to 2023.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time that that community felt like it could have gone the other way?
It did. It did. So when Beto, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Beto, but
yeah.
When Beto ran, it was actually, this is actually kind of a funny story. All over Fort Worth, we were seeing Beto signs in the yard, and it became quite a thing, right? Were you going to have a Ted Cruz sign or are you going to have a Beto sign mm-hmm. in your yard? And that's where it really, you saw a shift. And I remember driving around Fort Worth, and we would be in the car with our relatively young baby, and we would just point, Beto sign, like there's another person who supports us, there's another person. And then we're driving through a park, and I was saying, Beto sign, and I pointed to a house, and then I go, Beto, it's Beto. And my wife and I ran out, and we took a picture with Beto, and he was just at a local park, going around door to door, talking to people. This happened to be like a little neighborhood park. And we ran out of the car. We brought our little, I think she was like 1 year old at that point, in a car seat. And we took a picture with Beto. And I remember thinking in that moment, there were so many people around him. Like, oh my God, there's a chance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance we could turn Texas blue. Of course, that didn't happen.
I've never been to Texas. I'm very just kind of in a West Coast bubble. But I know that Texas is not unilaterally white and fascist. Like, it was Mexico not that long ago.
It was Tejas before it was Texas.
Yeah. So you see Beto O'Rourke, and he's kind of like the, kind of almost like a shining hope for progressives. And you felt like a rallying around that?
It felt similar to when there was that energy around Obama.
Yeah.
Where there was hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His whole campaign was about hope. And it felt like as a Democrat, as a minority, a Hispanic, lesbian in Texas, there's some hope here. There's someone who could show the rest of the world that there is this other 50% in Texas
mm-hmm.
that never makes the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think what you said is so true. Like, people think that Texas is all 100% white, fascist, you know, homophobes. But it's not. There is that. It's 49.5%. But that's a lot of people who are on the right side of things, who are able to see what's happening and are trying to turn things around.
Yeah. Were you ever in public with your wife and daughter and were challenged?
Honestly, we never put ourselves in that situation. I don't think we ever held hands publicly, maybe for like a second or two. When you see trucks that have their guns just bolted onto their truck, or bumper stickers that are blatantly against your family. I mean, we have a daughter. Like, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be putting ourselves in any kind of situation. There were rallies and protests and march, like the Women's March. Mm-hmm. We wanted to go, but we literally were like, we have a newborn. We have a responsibility to stay in her life and not go and get, you know, shot up.
Yeah.
And it's a real fear there.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. It's a fear everywhere, but my family in particular, being gay, felt more of a fear.
Yeah. How did the extended family feel about what you guys were dealing with, what you were going through? Were they encouraging you to move? Was it like, stay here, we'll protect you?
They had no clue. They had no clue. Yeah. So we didn't really talk about our struggles with them. Right. Mm-hmm. I think to them, they probably thought Fort Worth is a super safe, really welcoming place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably saw that the neighbors across the street were this incredible lesbian couple. And they themselves are accepting. So I don't know if they could understand what it feels like when you see those bumper stickers, when you see the flags in all of your neighbors' yards,
yeah,
what that really means.
Yeah.
Or when they say, like, I know this neighbor has a come and take it sign or a MAGA sign, but they're really nice people. And you're like, maybe to you.
Yeah.
In a heterosexual couple, but to us, I'm not willing to risk it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what was it about Portland specifically that drew you and the family over?
It sounds so small, and I said it in the article, but seeing all of the rainbow flags. So I work as a chief academic officer for a local college here, and I was traveling back here for work probably 3 or 4 times a year.
Oh, wow.
And I just fell in love with feeling more than tolerated. Like, everywhere I turned, every coffee shop I entered, there was a little rainbow flag.
Yeah.
When I would walk at night for, like, walking around the different neighborhoods, I stayed in almost every neighborhood I could to try to figure out what would be a good neighborhood to raise our family. And almost all of them had rainbow flags or Black Lives Matter signs,
mm-hmm,
which to me says, this is a safe neighborhood for me,
yeah,
and my family. Mm-hmm. If we were to walk at night and hold hands or during the day, it wouldn't cause a commotion. So that was the first sign that I was like, wow, this place is pretty special. And then the backdrop is just gorgeous here, right? Oh, right. The trees, I mean, the bridges, everything, just, it's beautiful. And then, as cheesy as it may sound, I found the people to be very, very kind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the nicest drivers I've ever met.
Oh my gosh. Notoriously. Like, nice almost to a fault. We will sit at a 4-way stop and just, are you going to go? Is everybody okay? Do you want to go? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what you always hear about that Southern hospitality? There is part of that that's really true. And I started to wonder, you know, would I see that elsewhere? And here I feel a warmth, a kindness, a welcoming from a ton of people. And then I think the icing on the cake was when my wife and our daughter and I went to a Thorns game. Again, as cheesy as it sounds, I, in my 40 years of life, I'd seen men attend WNBA games in Texas. That's a thing, right? They have to bring their children. But I had never, ever seen both men and women wearing jerseys of the players of women team members. So I walk in and there's just men everywhere wearing jerseys supporting the Portland Thorns.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of a single time in Texas where I would see a man repping a phenomenal female athlete. And I just, my wife and I, like, we looked at each other and we thought, for our daughter to be able to grow up and see that women's sports are valued and respected in the same way as men's sports, what a game changer.
Yeah.
I don't know if people realize that it's not like this in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
And then you just, it's such a great atmosphere, right? There's pride flags. There's, it was like, wow, if we could feel this much diversity, inclusiveness on a daily basis, that was a real shift for me.
Yeah.
And then, there was a moment who, it was a family friend who I really respect and admire. We're packing up, we're moving, we're packing up our homes, we're selling our house, and we're looking to buy a house here. And I said to them, I'm like, this is so hard to do to my daughter, right? To move her from Texas, what she knows, to a whole other state. And they helped me. They said, you're not doing this to your daughter, you're doing this for your daughter. And my wife and I have held on to that during the tough times, right? Because we miss our family.
Yeah.
I mean, I miss my parents. I miss my brother, our nephews. And so does my daughter, right? She misses her cousins, her grandparents. But we remind ourselves, we're not doing this to her. We're doing this for her.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to this week's guest, Tiffany Rodriguez, and thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, bye!